This morning, I'd like us to turn in our Bibles to the book of Malachi. In Malachi chapter 3 is where we've been hanging around for the last few Sundays, looking at these convictions that the Lord is showing to Israel and the response that Israel has towards them. And Israel's response is, again, very much combative. It is aggressively disputing against God. And this is the seventh one we're going to look at in this passage. And in verse 8 of Malachi chapter 3, the Lord asks a question of them. It says, will a man rob God? It's not, can a man rob God? It's a matter of, will a man rob God? And it's, again, an intent. It's a motive. And it says, yet ye have robbed me. And their response was this, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes of the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall be no room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the times in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. I want to make sure that I clarify something. We are not going to preach prosperity theory here this morning. I know a lot of televangelists and a lot of internet people use these passages to promote something that is contrary to God. This is something that is for Israel, not the church. These promises here are something that is specific towards them when they come to the Lord in repentance after the tribulation period during the millennial reign. So I just want to set the context here for understanding. But that being said, the Lord puts these things here for us as the body of Christ to learn from. And we need to make sure that this is not the heart attitude that we have towards God. These are things that can creep in that the Lord is warning us about, as Paul warns the Romans over there in that book, saying, you need to be careful, take heed lest ye fall, make sure you don't fall into the same traps Israel did. We want to make sure that our hearts are always pure, holy, towards our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's what we're going to endeavor to look at this morning. We're going to examine this passage, specifically verse 8. We're going to see some principles here that the Lord wants us to examine in our own lives so that we would not fall victim to these same consequences that Israel has experienced. We want to make sure that we live a life that is glorifying unto our Lord and pleasing in His sight. And in order to do that, we have to ensure that these type of things are kept away from our heart. Let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you again for the time. Thank you again, Lord, for this opportunity to be here this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would just use these scriptures to show us in our life, Lord, where we may need to change some things, where we may need to respond to you. But Lord, above all, that Lord, we would desire to glorify you in all things. That we would take a look at this subject matter and realize that it is about the heart. It is about what is purposed in there. And that Lord, we would seek to honor you in all things, keeping you at the first and foremost of all of our thoughts, all of our words, and all of our actions, that the reasons why we do it is because of our love and care for you. I thank you again, Lord, for this time. Pray it will be pleasing in your sight. And this I ask in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So what we find in this passage is a very interesting thing. And again, as you know, I have a tendency to look at the scripture from the perspective of the law, legal. Obviously somebody that is a mathematician is going to look at it very differently. Somebody that is an engineer is going to look at the Word of God a little bit differently. I look at it from the legal sense, and when I see the word rob there, I immediately think of criminal activity. That's just kind of how I go. And in understanding that, this is a very interesting subject matter to discuss. And I want to make sure that we grasp the concept that that term rob, robbery, robbing, robbed, all goes under the term of stealing and theft. But again, I want to make it this clear, not all stealing and theft is robbery. And we'll explain that in just a moment. There's something unique about that term. There's something unique about this that we find in Scripture that the Lord reveals to us. And this is their, again, their defensive posture towards the Lord, showing, hey, here's some area in your life that I'm condemning. Here's some things that you have done towards me. And this is, again, if you will, kind of a consequential sin. And it all starts back with the idea and the concept where we started in the beginning about their misunderstanding of God's love. And that has led all the way through to the point of where they're failing in their relationship. They're failing to tend it. They're failing to keep it. They're failing to follow the word of God and desire it in their life. And the end result is this is now spilling over into every area of their life. And particularly in the way that they look at things and the way that they judge things, the way that they discern things. Even towards those that are associated with God and those that God cares for. And we'll see that in just a moment. Again, as I've said time and time again, and I want to make sure that I emphasize this, the way that somebody treats another person is going to be a direct reflection of what your relationship with Jesus looks like. And, if you will, and the reverse being very true, is that the way that you value the relationship is going to look at how you treat other people. Look, if you don't love the Lord, you're going to be abusive. You're going to be a jerk. You're like, well, I know people that are not saved that are not jerks. Well, let's put it this way. They're still very selfish. They're self-oriented. They care just about themselves. And what we find in Scripture is that the Lord looks at how we treat other individuals. Now, we know as the body of Christ, we have a way that we're to treat our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we know that there's a way that we're to treat those that are outside the world. And there's a very specific way that the Lord instructs us to do those things. And it is not to be, if you will, that group that is just hate-filled and if you will, desirous of violence towards others and things of that nature. That's not how God tells us to behave. God tells us how to demonstrate things. God tells us how to look at other people. Now again, it's not the acceptance of their sin, it is looking at that individual saying, that person needs a Savior. That person needs Jesus Christ. That person, I'm not going to try to change their outward appearance, I'm not going to try to change their outward behaviors, it is a heart issue that is needed. The same thing that we find right here with Israel. It's not about the external things that they were doing. It's about what's at the core of their being, the core of the nation, as he points out. And he says it right there, where he says this whole nation in verse 9. The whole nation is the mindset. And he's addressed Judah, he's addressed the Levites, and now he's saying, you know what? You're all a bunch of robbers. You're all in this act together. And Israel stands here accused of robbery. And I want you to notice the pattern in this condemnation of robbery. And I want us to turn to the book of Leviticus this morning. And then Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19 says this in verse 13. Leviticus 19:13 says, thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor. neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning. That's a kind of an interesting little thing. It just means that if you're getting paid every week or you're getting paid every month or every other week or something of that nature, they're going against God. No. They're supposed to pay you every day. Look, I understand what that concept is, but the idea is that you're not supposed to be withholding something from somebody. Now, when we think of this term, and we'll get to that in just a moment when it comes to the tithes and offerings, and I want to make sure that I'm clear this morning. I'm not preaching on giving. Okay? I'm preaching about the heart. Because it's the heart that matters more than the gift. A person can give and have a heart that is impure towards God. And you know what? God will reject that gift. God doesn't want that. And what we find is that the Lord warns Israel about this and saying, you need to be careful how you treat another person. Let's not rob them of what that is due to them. Let's not take away from something that belongs to them. Somebody labors for you, you pay them. You pay them. You pay them appropriately. And you don't wait a week to pay them. You pay them immediately. Because again, there are some people that have a concept and a mindset of how to gain extra income and so on and so forth. And I'm not saying all companies do this, but there are some companies that do that. They withhold the payroll so they can get those extra dollars of interest in the bank, and then they can take that and use that as more profit money. God doesn't like that type of mentality. You pay people accordingly. You pay them according to the Word of God. What do we find here in this passage? We find that he says this is something where you would defraud somebody. You know, specifically defrauding an individual is something that is a purposed intent. And I want to make sure that we're clear on that. Like I said, many times we go through the process of every year in the company that I work for, learning about fraud, waste, and abuse. And I'll tell you, those terms, fraud, waste, and abuse, are all over the news today. Amen? And what we find is there's a lot of fraud, waste, and abuse. Some of the stuff that I just found the other day. And again, it wasn't because of DOGE, it was because of the other government organization that was supposed to be doing the job, the GOA. Guess what they found? They found that we're missing $236 billion. Whoops. Could you imagine making that type of an error on your checking account? There would be some panic setting in. We learn about that all the time, about fraud, waste, and abuse, but fraud is something that is purposed. Waste is not always a purpose. Abuse typically is. But fraud is something that is purposed, determined, and, if you will, explicitly meant to take something that does not belong. And here he's saying defrauding and robbery are the same. Take a look over at Psalms chapter 62. The book of Psalms, and we're going to take a look at specifically Psalm 62. And I want us to take a look at verse 10. Psalm chapter 62, verse 10. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If your riches increase, set not your heart upon them. And it's interesting that he links these together, because many times what happens is somebody becomes rich and they think that they deserve or they need more. And they want to take more. And I will tell you this, the nation of Israel is rich. The Lord has given them blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing. Amen? Now, granted, many of those things that they're going through right now are curses because they failed to do what God told them to do. But the end result that we find is that the Lord richly blessed Israel, is richly blessing Israel now, and will richly bless Israel eventually. They're rich. They're God's chosen people. But yet, it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough for them. They wanted more. And here he is warning, and he's saying, look, you need to be careful about that. Because it becomes a vanity of mind to sit there and think, well, I'm going to take something that is not mine. I'm going to take something away from somebody else that I didn't earn, that I don't deserve, and I'm going to take that and use that in such a way that it only belongs to me for my selfish needs. That's vain. Dare I say that's humanism. Take a look at Proverbs, the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 2. In Proverbs, I apologize. How about we take a look at Proverbs chapter 21? One of these days I will learn to read. Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21, and in verse 7 it says this, the robbery of the wicked shall destroy them because they refuse to do judgment. Now here's where the rubber starts to meet the road on this. And I want us to understand something. This issue of robbing has to deal with poor choices. It's an error in judgment. And the Lord says very specifically here that robbery and judgment, specifically a lack of judgment, are linked. If a person cannot discern and judge what is evil and what is good, and a person cannot discern what is holy and unholy, and if a person cannot determine in their heart what is right and what is wrong, there is a core moral depravity and a lack of discerning judgment. When we take a look at the things that we, how many of us, and I'm going to go back to my very famous illustration. How many of us, when we walk into the bank, sit there and think, I need to rob this one? Prayerfully, none of us sit there and take a look around at the security cameras and the security guard and look at the teller and look at the bulletproof glass and all those things and try to figure out a way in our head how we would rob the bank. Okay, that's a thought you need to put into captivity. It does not belong in your mind or in your heart. If you're sitting there looking at it, I dare say you've got a little bit of a problem you need to address. Okay? Look, and as many times as I mention it, you probably think that's what I do. But I don't. I don't enter into a bank sitting there thinking about those things. But I use it because it is one of those situations, it's one of those sins that's just kind of like right in your face. Most of us would never think to go that direction, but I will tell you this, robbing the bank is just the same type of sin as having pride in your life. Amen. Robbing a bank is the same type of things of not doing what God tells us to do. Robbing a bank is the same principle as knowing to do right and failing to do it. So when we realize that the Lord is getting at this is a judgment issue, that robbery is based in that sin, a lack of judgment, a lack of discernment, we begin to realize this is a problem. Because notice what it says here. It says they refuse to do judgment. They refuse to do judgment. If you refuse to take a look at your life and take a look at the actions that you're doing and ask, do they align with God? Do they pass the filter test that I'm always talking about? Is it going to glorify God if I do this? Is it going to glorify God if I think about this? Is it going to glorify God if I listen to this, if I look at this? Is it going to glorify God? Is it going to glorify God, period? If it doesn't glorify Him and it doesn't please Him, pitch it. Don't refuse to do judgment. You will enter into a robber mentality. Take a look at the next passage. I want you to go over to Isaiah chapter 10. Isaiah chapter 10. In Isaiah chapter 10, here he is talking about individuals that decree unrighteous decrees in verse 1, and that, as it says, they're right grievousness which they have prescribed. He says in verse 2, to do what? To turn aside the needy from judgment, to take away the right from the poor of my people, that widows may be their prey, and that they may rob the fatherless. Here's the issue. Israel had entered into that mindset. He's talking to Israel right here, and he's saying, woe unto you, because this is what you were doing. You have no care. You don't care about somebody else. Your whole intent and purpose behind what you do about, if you will, as it talks about here, judgment, turning aside the needy from judgment, is to rob them. To rob them. To rob the fatherless. Here's somebody that has nothing. They have no father. They have nobody there to lead, to guide the way that it is supposed to be according to Scripture. And somebody comes along and says, hey, I'm going to take further away from you. I'm going to take more. I'm going to make it so you're destitute, that you have nothing. There's a judgment issue. Here they are, they're turning away the needy, and if you will, the needy addresses the poor, addresses the widows, addresses the fatherless. They all need something. They need something in their life that's missing, and that need that is there, they're saying, look, I'm just going to go ahead and I'm going to dismiss judgment in that. I'm not going to look at whether it's right or whether it's wrong. I'm just going to turn them away. The sin that has progressed over the course of Israel's of Israel in the book of Malachi is very clear, that it's gotten to a point of where now they are starting to spill over to other people, because again, that's what sin does. It affects other people. Now it's affecting those that are at the very bottom of it, the needy. And he even addresses that over there in the book of Malachi, which we'll get back to in just a moment. But now it's affecting them. Now it's affecting them. Take a look at chapter 61 of the book of Isaiah. Chapter 61. Chapter 61. I want you to see what he says in verse 8. Here's the Lord saying this. For I, the Lord, love judgment. You know what? He wants you to judge things. He wants you to take a look at it, whether it's right or whether it's wrong. Yeah. He wants to judge yourself before you judge somebody else. He wants to take you to take a look at the beam that's in your eye before you start picking the mote out of somebody else's. He clearly wants you to look at things that are going on and take a look at our, you know, your own individual heart and start asking the serious questions. Am I right with God in every area? It's the attitude of heart. Judgment is something that needs to be exercised. And look, I'll say this. Young people, listen up. You need to learn how to judge things according to the Word of God. Don't judge it based off of Instagram, TikTok, or any of the other social media platforms. Or, yeah, I know, for us fuddy-duddies, Facebook. And if I really want to go back fuddy-duddy, MySpace. How many of you remember that? Some of you are like, what is that? The precursor to all the mess that we have now. That being said, don't judge it according to the world standards. Judge it according to what God says. Look at it and say, really, honestly, is that something that the Lord would want me to do? Is that something that the Lord wants me to say? Is that something that the Lord wants me to think? The Lord loves judgment. He loves it when we exercise judgment. Because look at what he says here. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering. And I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. He says very clearly, he says, I hate robbery. I hate robbery in the burnt offerings. Well, how can you rob when you're giving? Why don't you think about that for a moment? How can you rob when you're giving something? Lord, here I am. I'm giving my burnt offering. Now, he's already said that they'd be offering the lame, the blind, and everything else on the altar that they shouldn't be offering. But what about the concept of when they do offer what is right, but they're still robbing God in it? Where's the error in judgment? How are they robbing God? Because there's a problem in the heart. There's a problem in the heart. I want you to take a look at another passage, and let's go over to the book of Ezekiel, just a few books over, in Ezekiel chapter 22. Ezekiel chapter 22. And this is what the nation has become in verse 29. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery, and have vexed the poor and needy, yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. They look at everyone else as somehow feeding them, as feeding what their desire is. They are piranha. And dare I say, they're Pharisees. They're hypocrites. They're vipers, as the Lord called them. And the issue at hand is the way that they're judging the matters and judging the things that they're doing for the Lord. The way that they were to take care of those that were needy, God says, you're robbing me in that. Go back over there to look at Malachi chapter 3, and I want you to see something in there, in that verse, in verse 8, where he says, will a man rob God? And he says, yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? And I've heard a lot of people preach about the tithes and the offerings, and like, if you're not giving money, and you're not doing this, and you're not doing, you know, all that type of stuff, and again, it becomes more about the dollar than about God. But I want you to notice one of the most important words in there, and I will tell you this, the most important words typically in Scripture are only like 2, 3, or 4 letters long. And it's the word, the preposition, in. Not of. In. He didn't say, you're robbing me of tithes and offerings. As in, you're not giving them. Oh no, they were giving them. It's in the process of how they were doing it. Because their heart was not right with God. Well, how do we know that? We'll see in just a moment over in the book of Matthew, but I want to point this out here very clearly. What does it say over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7? Turn there, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and in verse 7. 2 Corinthians 9 shows us that one of the most important principles, and when it comes to giving, this is how you give. It says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart. There's that word again, purpose. Purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudging. Not grudgingly. Or of necessity. What's that? Compliance. But what? It says here, for God loveth a cheerful giver. That means they're giving because they truly enjoy it. Are we saying, and can it be? I was getting a little excited. You're like, you didn't look like you're getting, I was getting excited. I know, my excitement level's there. But, you know, I want to be clear about that. That was a cheerful song to sing, amen? There is something that when we come and we are faced with what the Lord is giving us and what the Lord is doing in our lives, there should be a cheer of praise towards God, a cheer of thankfulness towards God. What do cheerleaders do? They're supposed to get people what? Motivated. Get them excited, right? I wasn't a cheerleader, okay? Just to make sure. Not happening here. I'd be like, raw team, go. There's my cheer. Some of us might get a little more excited about that. I'm not that guy, okay? But that being said, I'll tell you this. There should be cheer in the heart because of what you're purposing. And you're saying, I'm doing this not because, you know, it's going to benefit me. Not because of, you know, look at me. It's not because of all that. It's going to be because the Lord's given me that opportunity. Amen. We cheer because we can do that for the Lord. And He's the one that allows us to do that. And it's just, it's such a mind-blowing concept when we think about how that heart attitude should be with anything that we give for the Lord. Whether, again, it is the physical money, whether it is our physical time, whether it's the physical body that we use, whatever it may be, it goes beyond that into the spiritual about saying, Lord, I'm going to be cheerful in this. I'm not going to do this because I have to. And look, that even applies to everything. You shouldn't come to church because you have to. That wrong attitude. You're robbing God. You're taking something from Him. The typical definition of robbery is larceny plus force. Larceny is theft. It's a fancy word for theft, okay? Property has to be taken from the victim's presence or person and is considered to be in the victim's presence if it is close enough to the victim so that it is within his control that he could exercise an action that would prevent the taking of it. You're like, what does that mean? Let me give you an example. Purse snatching. Somebody's holding a purse. Guy walks up, forcefully grabs it out of the person's clutch and takes it. Robbery. Person sets a purse down on the bench, goes to put something in the garbage, goes to tend to a child. They're a few feet away from it. Somebody looks at it and takes it. Robbery? No. Theft, stealing. Very big difference in the legal system. Robbery is more punishable because you're using some sort of force. And dare I say that many times when the person takes that, they don't know that it's been taken. Until they turn around and go, "Where's my purse?" And somebody says, "Why'd you leave it unattended?" One is done sneakily and subtly. The other one is in your face. Go back to that verse in Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, when he says, "You're robbing me." It was in God's face they're giving this, saying, "I'm going to give this, but I don't even care about you. I don't care what you say. I don't care about your commandments. I don't care about your words. I'm giving this so that I get a blessing from you." And furthermore, even as you go down in the rest of the chapter, which we'll address next week, they had a mentality and a mindset that was, what benefit is it for me to even do this? What benefit is it for me to even serve God? What benefit is it for me to be called a child of God? They were in God's face about it. They weren't a thief doing it subtly. They weren't doing it kind of, you know, behind the scenes. They weren't necessarily doing it in such a way that it was trying to be concealed. No, they were doing it in God's face. Forcefully saying, "Nope, I'm going to give this, but I'm not going to give my whole heart. I'm not going to give all. I'm going to give this with a hollowness of spirit." You know, Israel's attitude towards God had produced a very corrupt mind that they began to judge that that was okay. There was an error in judgment. And they judged that the Lord's will for them was somehow evil towards them, and that they needed to retain the Lord's blessings only for themselves and not for what God intended it to be. Now, how do we know that? Go over to Matthew chapter 23, as I insinuated. We'll take a look at a couple more passages. But Matthew chapter 23, in verse 23, here he says to the Pharisees, Matthew 23 is a rough chapter for the Pharisees. It's a rough chapter for anybody that's a hypocrite. It's a rough chapter for anybody that's a humanist. It's a rough chapter. "Woe unto you," in verse 23 of chapter 23, "woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites! For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought to ye have done, and not leave the other undone." Oh, they were giving. They were giving, but what were they forgetting? They were forgetting the important principles behind why they were doing it. Why do you come to church? Why do you pray? Why do you read your Bible? Why do you have fellowship with the saints? Why do you do the right thing? Why do you follow God's commandments? You can do all of those and not please God. You can do all of that. "Look, I grew up in church. I know exactly what that means. I know exactly what that looks like. I know exactly how that can creep into my heart. And I know exactly how it looks when you sit there and say, I'm doing this because I have to." And what were they omitting? Judgment, mercy, and faith. Judgment, mercy, and faith. And I will tell you this, If you use judgment, mercy, and faith, you will prevent your heart from even thinking you can rob God. And this all led towards an evil eye towards the Lord, towards those that God had said He was going to take care of, towards God's will and purpose of the storehouse. What was, I mean, you go back over there to Malachi chapter 3, and he says in there, he says, bring, in verse 10, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse. What was the storehouse for? Why was it there? Go over to Deuteronomy. We'll take a look at two passages. Deuteronomy. I want you to take a look at Deuteronomy chapter 14. Here's what they were supposed to do. Deuteronomy chapter 14 and verse 22. He says, thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed that the field bringeth forth year by year. He says, this is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to bring that tithe. Bring that tithe. Bring that tithe. Look, do you think God really needed that? Who was that for then? Deuteronomy chapter 26. I'm glad you asked. Deuteronomy chapter 26. What was the tithe for? When thou hast made, in verse 12, Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 12. When thou hast made an end of the tithing of all the tithes of thine increase the third year, which is the year of tithing, and hath given it unto the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, the widow, that they may eat within thy gates and be filled. He says, that's the purpose. It wasn't for God. God said, I want you to bring that because I want you to take care of someone else. Amen. Christian, I want you to understand this. This applies to us this way. We can rob God when we fail to realize the reason why we're doing things. When we fail to judge the importance behind it. Why do you come to church? Do you come to church for yourself or do you come to church for someone else? He tells the church to excel at edifying. You can't really edify yourself. It doesn't look good. Looks kind of creepy. Just going to be honest, all right? Why do you pray? Is your prayer selfish? About yourself? You pray for somebody else. Why do you read your Bible? Is it so you can grow, or is it so that the Lord can give you something that you can give to someone else? Amen. By the way, that's the right principle. Because if you store it within yourself and you never give it out, you'll corrupt yourself really quick. Knowledge puffeth up. Charity edifieth. And charity is all about the giving. When we realize that the things that Israel was doing, they had failed in judging why God was asking them to do it. And I will tell you this, it was the will of God. But they scoffed at the will of God. They scoffed at the Word of God. They scoffed at why God was even convicting them of these sins. And they just said, wherein have we robbed thee? And God said, in. Why are you doing it? What's the heart? What's the motivation behind it? Christian, this is a warning. This is a warning for us. Don't get that way. And I've heard this preached about giving and money and all sorts of stuff, but the intent behind it, the root behind the context, is not that. It is in the word in. Right there. The two-letter little word. That's where they were making the difference against God. And I will tell you this, that's where the difference will be made in serving God. In. Because that's what He cares about. What's the heart say? We exercise judgment in our own hearts, looking at those things and saying, I guess I got to take a look at that. I guess I have to examine myself. We should all do that. Because I'll tell you this, we were all made to do one thing, and that is to please our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. That's why I love Sundays. Because Sunday is not all about the getting. Sunday is all about the giving. Amen? Let's close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You again for this time. I thank You again, Lord, for that opportunity to study Your Word and for, Lord, what You teach us and how important it is in just that one little word, that one little preposition about the end. Lord, I pray that we would examine ourselves, that, Lord, we'd heed this warning this morning, that, Lord, above all, we'd be cheerful in all that we do, giving You praise, giving You glory, giving You honor in our thoughts, our words, our actions, that, Lord, we would strive to do that. And, Lord, we all know and understand how difficult it is, and I thank You so much for Your mercy and Your kindness and Your grace towards us. Lord, may we endeavor to please You, that as part of the body of Christ, Lord, we would fulfill Your will and we would do it with a cheerful heart, with joy, with gladness, that the Lord would come to You and say, I'm doing this, Lord, not for self, that we'd set ourselves aside and we would truly understand the charitable action. I thank You again, Lord, for all that You've done for us. I pray that You'd continue to meet with us for this time where we sing praise to You as we close. And all of this I ask in Your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.